Good afternoon, everyone. Good evening, good morning, all those good things, right? It's good to be in God's house together today, and it's good to be with you again. I definitely always want to acknowledge the fact that it's an honor to be able to allow my brother in the ministry a chance to recuperate and reconnect himself to God and the mission that God has for him. So we continue to keep Pastor Davis in our prayers as God is shaping him for what is yet ahead, especially for the sheep that are here. Amen? I'm having a little issue here, so let's see if he works. I brought my laptop with me. This morning I had an issue as well, so let's just see what the Holy Spirit does with it, right? Yeah, you know, sometimes things, technology is your friend or your enemy some days, and today looks like it wanted to be my enemy this morning. But with that being said, I also want to thank the praise band for the way in which you selected the songs for today. I just think it's absolutely an honor to see, brother, the song you wrote for America. I hope we can get that across America and make it a true reality for everyone to know that we have to be unified. Yeah, we have to be unified in all things that we do, because so many times in our world, and particularly in these last few years in this world, it's not about unity. It's definitely about a bunch of devices, which is not of God. And we know that to be very, very true as well. So let's pray together. Lord God, Heavenly Fathers, we're here this afternoon in this appointed place that you have called us to be. We call on your Spirit to unite us and to bring us to the place you want us in this Christian journey in which we're on. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to keep our hearts and to keep our minds totally focused on what our Lord and Savior wants us to achieve, particularly as we then live out the gospel work of our Lord Jesus Christ, and not just make it something that we think about, that we process, but it becomes a reality for us to live it and to breathe it and to allow it to really, really touch our heart, minds, and souls. And so we pray today, Holy Spirit, that you would truly, truly be with us so that the angels of God surround us and all that we do is absolutely a blessing to everyone around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. The Spirit spoke, so the computer works. Amen. Let me go back. I want to reread verses 21 to 23 if I can. And I don't know if you can pull it back up or not, but it's probably down already. But because the emphasis of what the Apostle Paul is trying to, I believe, display and encourage and bring to his brothers and sisters 2,026 years ago, how you like that, right, is the same thing for us. And in verse 21, he says, once you were alienated, right, from God, and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. That's called sin. Amen? And now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body. All right? Good Friday. And through death present you as holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. The three words, it is finished, right? If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. So no one's out of the ball whatsoever. Everyone's in. And of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and from the Holy Spirit, who in this season, in Pentecost season, is keeping us grounded, connected, and rooted in the plans that God has for us. Amen? Amen. My brothers and sisters and saints, especially those online and those sitting here and whoever's going to look at this sometime in the future, because, you know, people review and replay, right? Sometimes and many times in our lives, we believe either ourselves or the society in which we're in is so bad and so ugly and so sinful and so corrupt and so rebellious and so evil and so undeserving, because Satan puts that in our spirit. Satan makes that happen around us, that there's no way in our hearts and minds that God will ever continue to love us or care for us because we are so bankrupt in our sin. And Satan continues to put that around us, trying to get that in our hearts and our minds. And sometimes even those of us who are the most faithful believers think that, man, there's no way that God can love this ugly person that I am, because we know ourselves. You know, we can hide, but we know ourselves, right? And as believers, I think we sometimes forget that God has all the power, and he is the one who continues to have the plans for us, regardless of what we're feeling and regardless of what we're going through. And I think you would also agree with me that sometimes we get into what I call the split personality issues of living in a righteous life and then letting those evil things that lurk around us, as Satan continues to try to put on us and the world around us, and it doesn't allow us to really become who we should be and carry out the work that God wants us to be. Well, that's where the Apostle Paul is at with the church. And he addresses them then, and he's addressing us now, because everything is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? And so, knowing that Christ has already paid the price for our sins once and for all, we should be able to release those things when Satan is running after us, or Satan is putting them in our way, or he's placing them on our hearts and our minds. And where do we place them? Back on the cross. We go back to Good Friday. We listen to those three words, "It is finished." And all those things that are around us, we go back and we place them on the cross, because we know they're not real, they're not beneficial to us, and certainly they do not direct us or power us, because we belong to the Lord. Our mission is not about suffering. You know that. God does not want us to suffer. It's not about rejection, and it's certainly not about separation. We know Christ's mission is all about unity. Unity. It's all about the unity inside the body of Christ. And here's something for you, the unity outside the body of Christ. Because those inside the body of Christ are doing what? Reaching out to those outside the body of Christ so they can come inside. So we must unify God's people the way in which God created us. We know that God's mission is all about forgiveness. And there's an interesting word. Christ has already forgiven us. If you don't believe that, I want you to go back and reread his word. We're already forgiven, right? And now, the difficult part for us sometimes, we have to forgive ourselves and forgive others. And there's where things get tricky for us, inside the body and outside the body of Christ, right? The mission of Christ, as we well know, is also about walking in our faith and not talking the talk only, but also walking the walk in our faith. And Paul is saying, look, I'm a slave to this. I'm doing this because I love you, my brothers and sisters. And what he's saying to us, let the unconditional love of Christ also flow through you as you see it flowing through me. Christ is our light. And there is no darkness that can trap us. Even though those things I said, ugly world and all these things, they try to trap us inside and outside of Christ, they cannot trap us because we belong to the Lord. We're covered in the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And living out our gospel purpose is the last thing about Christ's mission. Spiritual gifts, for instance. I'm not sure, in the last time, I'm sure you here at Bethel have taken spiritual gifts assessments and been recommended by a pastor to do that. And if you haven't had a spiritual gifts assessment recently, let me just encourage you. You can Google it. You don't have to get a big book anymore. You just go Google, give me a spiritual gifts assessment, and spend some time in prayer and meditation. But before you do that, let me encourage you to go to the first spiritual gifts assessment in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All right? And let the word of God really sink into you as you read through what Paul said to the Corinthians. And after you do that, then you can go Google. All right? And then walk your way through the spiritual gifts that are there, because, you know, our gifts change and they mature and they go away and we get older. I'll say no more about that, right? I mean, just reality of the whole thing, right? So we have to ask ourselves sometimes inside the body of Christ, because of what Apostle Paul is saying to us, what is holding me back from walking in this tremendous gospel work without any conditions? Let me repeat that. What is holding me back, right, from walking in this tremendous gospel work without conditions? Now, I'm going to touch on your toes a little bit, so don't squirm too much. Sometimes it's our family members. They get in the way of us doing the work of Christ. And we can't be focused as we should be. And we have to look at that and figure out, Lord, how am I going to work in this situation with the ones that I love? Because you have to always be number one. The scripture says, if you don't love me more than, and the list goes on, mother, father, sister, brother, right? We have to love Christ first. Sometimes it's family members. And that gets a little sometimes to think about that. But the reality is, Christ first. Sometimes it's friends, you know. You don't always have the best friends or the right people in your circle, right? And you have to look and evaluate and assess, Lord, now I love this person, but are they in the way of me really fulfilling my purpose in you? This is another one that's kind of touchy. Do we allow our money to control us? Do we have too much or not enough, depending on how you see your life? You know what I mean? Is that really controlling and impeding the way in which we should be sold out, like the Apostle Paul says, and carrying out the work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? And I'm going to encourage us to remember sometimes we can also be the small g, our own gods, and we want to determine our own direction and do our own thing, and then somehow we get out there, we're like, this really didn't work very well, did it? And then we have to turn around and fall on our knees and then pray for his forgiveness, which is guaranteed to us, right? Maybe what's getting in the way is you're not allowing the peace or the joy or happiness that is already yours in Jesus Christ just to flow through you and be around you from the time you wake up in the morning to the time you go to bed. I say this all the time. I wake up doing this, and I go to bed doing this because I want his angels to be around me. I want everyone to know. If anyone knows me, if I die, I say, have a party. I know where I'm at, right? Because I know that the blood of Jesus has already covered me. Maybe it's walking in faith and say, you know, I wish I could be stronger, and we don't have the kind of faith we should have. We're not in the Word. We're not praying enough. We're not seeking him enough. We're not allowing him to really speak to us and to mold us and shape us. And sometimes we could love so hard our jobs or love so hard those things that we're doing and volunteering that somehow those things get in the way of that relationship. Misplaced values. Anyone have any issues with that? I sometimes have to figure out, is that a value I should have or not a value for me, right? And then we know people who walk the fence. They have one side over here and they have one side over there. And one day it's going to hurt them if they don't get on one side or the other, right? And so walking the fence instead of being totally sold out is what the Apostle Paul says. Sold out on doing the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's what he wants us to be and to do as you carry out this gospel work. So he's encouraging the church then, the church now, to remember the mystery of the gospel and how powerful that mystery is. None of us can explain the mystery of the Trinity, the three in one. We can make circles, we can draw lines, we can have pictures, we can have explanations, but reality is our relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, is a mystery to us, but we know that it works. We are living proof that the mystery of the Trinity works in our lives. We know who created us, we know who went to the cross for us, and we know who is leading and guiding and directing us every day of our lives, because we know what blind faith is. We live in it. We walk in it every day. We walk by faith and not by sight, because we know that we have to lean on the Lord and not ourselves, not this world in which we are in. It's amazing the price that God had to pay for us so that we'll be able to be free and truly, truly be his. Good Friday is something that we should celebrate every day of our lives before we say, victory is mine, right? Victory is mine for Resurrection Sunday. Paul also is striving to get the church to do some things that may be difficult for us to do even. to live in fact versus fiction. We like to make up things. We like to live in some imaginary world. Paul says, no, stay in the fact. This is who we are. This is what Christ has done for us. This is the work he's given to us. These are the tools that we have. This is the reality of who we are in our faith, right? Stay in reality. Live out your dreams along with the gospel message carrying you forth each and every day, and always remain mission-minded, Christ-centered in everything that you do. And we have to remember those outside the body that we're trying to get inside the body, we have to bring them along by bringing along with them the power and the work of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus had a crowd following him, and they were thirsty, right? Like we sometimes get thirsty for answers. And the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, you guys probably have it all memorized, right? Right? The Beatitudes. I want to suggest to us today that as we think about this, that we couple this with the words of the Apostle Paul, because we have to remember we are blessed people. Tell your person around you, we are blessed people. We are blessed people. We're blessed people. We really are. You know, we can complain and we can talk about things and we can say what Satan is doing, but we really are blessed people. I just want to share these words with you. If you want to close your eyes or find a place in the room to reflect, but I'm going to read them for you and just refresh your memory about what Jesus said to the disciples and to the crowds that were following him. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. In the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." We're blessed. We're blessed. And we're called to rejoice in those blessings, regardless of the suffering and the things around us. We're called to remain steadfast and immovable in our faith so we can continue to carry out kingdom business, right? And to be centered on the arm of God's grace and mercy and unconditional love that is flowing through us each and every day in our lives, and to focus on carrying the torch of the gospel, right? I know you don't want to walk around every day with your hand in the air, but in imagine your heart and your mind, you want to walk around with the torch of the gospel right before you, because we want to hear these words from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we don't know when we're going to hear them, but we want to hear them. "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." We desire for that. We thirst for that as God's people. 2026, and we're 250 years old in the United States, right? Actually, we're older than that, but that's when the Constitution and bylaws and all that, right, took place. Let's return to the Word. We can't give up on this nation. We are here not by coincidence, but by God's divine plan. We can't give up on her, right? But we can find the answers, and the answers is in God's word, right? And the lessons we need to learn is to bring others back to God, because that's why we were created. We are a Christian nation, regardless of what other people say. Our founding fathers were sure to bring their faith with them to this place, and we are a Christian nation. We stand up on that. As a result of that, we have a gift to give to this nation. What is that gift? The waters of holy baptism, to transform the lives of men and women and children and empower them to be a part of this body that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died and rose for. So we celebrate this victory that Christ has given to us each and every day. So Paul was correct. Rejoice in who and whose you are. Rejoice in knowing that the doors of heaven are open for us. Rejoice in knowing that we are given blessings each and every day. Everlasting joy is ours. And as we come into this new week, I want to challenge you a little bit. I want you to think about being in Sunday school or vacation Bible school or summer camp somewhere. You know, it's summertime, so we can say that. I want to challenge a little bit and think about this. How can you intentionally, not coincidentally, you know, just run across somebody, but how can we intentionally reach out to someone with the good news and the freeing word of the gospel? How can we do that? How can we offer someone outside or maybe even inside the body, right, who may need this, this gift of holy baptism? How can we give it away? It's a free gift to us. It's a free gift to everyone. Intentionally think about it this coming week. Intentionally think about how can I really, truly be in this Pentecost season a battery, a power source for someone to be able to connect to what Jesus Christ already has for them, to be a living vessel for him. Think about how to get out of the way this week. Just think about how can I get out of the way? Holy Spirit, just use me. Let me get out of the way. And let God receive all the glory, the honor, and the praise. That's the challenge for the week. And so when you come in church next week, whether it's, you know, 4:30 or 10 till, tell somebody how God used you. Share your testimony with someone. Maybe in the service, we'll have a time to talk about that. How we got out of the way and how God used us, right? How the opportunity was there. It was intentional. It wasn't coincidental. But I intentionally went after someone to let them know how much God loves them, cares for them. And you offer them the word. Or you offer them holy baptism. You offer them a chance to come to worship. You offer them what they need so they also will hear, well done, thy good and faithful servants. I'd like for us to have a little intercessory prayer time right now, if we could. I think we transition to prayer anyway at this time, but I want us to just think about for just a few moments to the person sitting next to you to intentionally pray that God would give you that opportunity this coming week. We know it's there. Everyone in Los Angeles is not saved. Amen. Okay, Los Angeles County. Maybe it's a city. I'm just kidding. Los Angeles is not saved, right? Let's pray. Father, as we pause for just a moment right now to ask you to bring us to the fullness of who you have created us to be and who you have saved us to be, allow your spirit to an intentional way this coming week to bring us where we need to be in our relationship with you first so that we can get out of the way and be used by the Holy Spirit as a vessel this week. Someone needs to know the power of your love, your grace, your mercy. And we just ask you now, Heavenly Father, that you would hear the prayers of the saints in this very intentional way.